I titled this message, Staying Positive in a Negative World. Staying positive in a negative world. Because the truth is, there's negativity everywhere, amen? I mean, just look around, and so much negativity. And then when we're talking sickness, and we're talking the diseases, we're talking just negative impact at every turn, it seems. And I thought, man, we don't need any more negative today. I don't need any more negative today. And so maybe I sat down and did this for me. I don't know. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. But as we're going through today and looking at God's Word, I just want you to look at why we need to stay positive, how we can stay positive, and the effect that it will have on us staying positive. You know, we think about being negative. We know it's all around us. We know it's in the world. We know it's, sometimes it's just overwhelming, amen? You know, we turn around and someone's sick anymore, or they're passing away, or they're losing their job, or whatever it is, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord. Marriages falling apart, families falling apart, and I think we just don't need any more. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. Amen? And so what can we do to make a difference? And that's what I'm going to look at today. You know, Matthew 24, 12 sets the stage for negativity. 24:12 says this, Matthew 24:12, and they don't have any scriptures up today, and so Dan can put it up for me real quick. It's just going to kind of be open your Bible day today, amen? But Matthew 24:12 states this, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, if you look in the King James Version, it actually uses the word wax. It says the love of many will wax cold. And as I was looking at that and then looking at what this, and of course we know grow is the same way, as the same word. Wax is an old English term, but I think in this one it's incredibly important to understand why they use the word wax. And it's because if you make a candle, what you do is you dip the candle in wax, right? In hot wax. And then you take it out and it cools. And then you put it back in and it cools. And you put it back in and take it out. And there's that whole process of putting it in, taking it out, putting it in, taking it out. And as you do this, the candle grows, right? So wax, it waxes cold. It grows cold. If you look at our society today as a whole, it's pretty cold. Families aren't what families used to be. They don't take the time like they used to for each other. People aren't as nice as they used to be. It's funny, I was talking to Dom yesterday, and he's like, you know, in the South, man, they're really nice. And then we come back up here to New York, and they're not so nice. And I said, but you know what's really interesting? You talk to everybody in New York, and they say when they go south, everybody's so nice and it's wonderful. And then they come up here, and I go, you would think that they would want to bring that with them, and that it would change here, amen. And then we get caught up in this wave, if you will, and it doesn't change. People go right back to what they're used to, or programmed to be, or how they really feel. And I think, man, you know what? If we decide to stay positive, if we decide to do good, if we decide to make right decisions, that's on us. It should not be dependent. Listen, me doing good or smiling to you should not depend upon you in the first place. I'm going to smile and say hello to you because that should be who I am and what I want to do. It's funny, I remember a few years back, my wife and I, we went to Panera. And so over in by Crossgates Mall. And this elderly lady, I don't want to use the word old because I don't want anybody to go, hey, that's me. No, I'm kidding. So this elderly lady, she's coming to the door, and she's coming really slow, right? And I told Sherry, I go, well, I'll just stay here and hold the door open. And so I held the door open for her, and I waited on her. I'm waiting on her to come across the parking lot. I mean, this wasn't just I noticed her. This was, I literally waited a solid minute and a half for her to get to the door. And I'm thinking, if she'd seen me standing there, she should have, like, you know, something, but she didn't. She stayed pretty steady at her pace, and she gets to the door, and I open the door, and I'm like, hello, how are you? And she goes, what do you want? Only she uses a little more descriptive language I won't use in church. And I looked at her. I was like, this is from this little old lady. She was like, "What?" And I'm going, I just wanted to hold the door for you. And I smiled and I said, I hope you have a good day. And this is what she did all the way through the door. And I'm not going to use what she said. I'll just pretend like I am. And I'm thinking, I just held the door open for you. I'll kick you in the booty so you fall down on your cane next time, right? And so you're thinking, man, I just did this good thing. And I look at my wife and I go, I just did this good thing. And all she's going to do is complain about it. It's because we're not used to it, I guess, here in the upstate. But it was, and that was when I first moved here, kind of a few years after I moved here. All that has since faded away in me. Now I just go, oh, here she comes, shut the door. Not really, I don't do that. But you know, sometimes you think about it. But here's the funny thing. In John 16:33. In John 16:33, Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples. And he says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. And so we know that in Christ we have peace. And only because of Christ do we have this peace. And he says, look, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. How many in here in this room have ever been, anybody in your family have been affected by cancer? A car accident, just tribulation, loss of job, anything, right? Listen, and it just comes and it keeps coming and coming and coming, and we're like, oh my goodness, when's it going to stop? Well, the truth is, guys, this isn't the most exciting part of the message, it's just part of it. The truth is, it's not going to go anywhere. We're going to continue to hear about cancer. We're going to continue to hear about car accidents. We're going to continue to hear about people just making sorry decisions. We're going to continue to hear all this silliness, right? We're just going to continue to hear it. Why? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. You know, the truth is, guys, there's going to be some people that don't like you. Don't even know why sometimes. They're just not going to like you. They're not going to like you because you stand for Christ. They're not going to like you if you don't stand for Christ. They're just not going to like you. You don't even need a reason anymore. Why? Well, we live in a world of tribulation. My prayer list just keeps doing this. Amen? Anybody else? Because I keep hearing about more and more and more and more, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, if I could just deliver them from some of this tribulation, I would. And God says, you know what? That's not your job. That's my job. And I can't deliver the whole world because this is part of sin, the effects of sin. If you do bad, there's a consequence. And we're like, God, deliver us from it all. And he's like, look, I can't do that because if you do this, then understand this is going to happen. And sometimes there's grace and sometimes you get away with it and sometimes you don't get away with it. But the truth is, listen, you're going to have tribulation and it's going to come. And you're not even going to understand why. Just understand this is because you're a fallen world and you make poor choices sometimes. And these are the effects of your poor choices. But then he doesn't leave it there. He says this, but. Now, I love the but in the Bible. But be of good cheer. Don't let this overwhelm you. Don't let this take you down. Don't let this get your breath take your breath away. Look, don't let this take the smile off your face. Don't let this tribulation control you and your direction and your attitude. And you know, the truth is, if I see an elderly lady doing this, I'm still going to stay at the door, wait for her to get me, and I'm going to get to the door and I'm going to open it for her. It's funny. Friday, I was in such a hurry. Friday, so much going on Friday, and I had it was 2:00 in the afternoon, and I hadn't stopped to eat yet. I hadn't had breakfast, hadn't had lunch. It was just go, 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 and so I stopped in at Subway down the road here just to get a quick sandwich, right? I see a gentleman there, and you could tell he had a stroke, and he struggled to walk. And I went up to him, and I was talking to him, and I said, hey, Tom, how you doing? And I got his name, obviously. I said, how you doing? And good. And then the lady behind the counter, her and I were talking, and she asked me what I did. I'm a pastor. Oh. Like the whole place changes. I don't know what it is. And so I looked at her when Tom wasn't looking, and I said, I'll pay for his. And he didn't know I said that. And she was like, okay. So he goes through and he gets his sandwich and everything. And I'm going through and she's making it all. And I go up and she rang it up. And she looked at me and she says, that'll be $16. And he goes, $16. He goes, I don't have no offering plate. I'd never spend that much on a sandwich. But it'd be nice to have an offering plate go by me so I can afford a $16 sandwich. Who buys a $16 sandwich at Subway anyway? It must be nice. And I looked at him and I said, Tom, I don't have an offering plate either, buddy. I work 2.5 jobs. I'm a pastor. I have a business, and then I do painting and repair on the side. I fix cars on the side. I go, man, I work hard for the money I make. And he just looked at me. Well, I don't have an offering plate. So I paid the bill, told the lady, have a great day. I took my sandwich, started to walk out the door, and he goes, what do I owe you? And she goes, he just took care of your bill. And she looked and she said, by the way, his sandwich was only $6. Right? Right? I'm like, woo! You hate to do that, Lord, forgive me. I know I'm in the flesh, took pride in that moment, right? But why do we do that? You know, guys, because sometimes we are quick to judge and we're quick to condemn and we're quick to jump on somebody and we're quick to make all these harsh. And usually when you make a judgment on somebody, it's typically harsh. How many of you make good judgments on people coming out of the gate, right? You don't do that until you find out they paid for your meal. And then you're like, and then before I got to the door, thank you so much. I said, hey, man, God bless you. You have a great day, and I hope your day gets better. And I left, right? And so it's kind of funny, it all changed when he found out that it was $16.53, and $6 of it was mine, and the rest was his. And then he was like, oh, like it stunned him for a second. Guys, we live in a world of tribulation and people that is constantly passing judgment and people that are constantly ready to jump and attack. But be a good cheer. Be a good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And this isn't always going to be easy. And guys, you know it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's just going to be tough. So how do we keep ourselves from being negative and to be positive? I was talking to Nancy yesterday. Sherry and I stopped over to visit her and the family, and we were talking, and Sherry asked Nancy, are you going to be in church tomorrow? And she said, yes. And Sherry said, well, you don't need to. I mean, I was just asking, but don't feel under pressure. Don't feel like you have to be there. You need to take time for yourself and whatever. And she made this statement, and I got it. And I love you. But she said this not out of any other reason than it being truth. And Sherry said, well, you don't have to come. And Nancy said, I didn't die. I didn't die. Doesn't mean she didn't love her husband and that she's going to miss him and that, listen, that tragedy has struck her home. But you know the beginning of the positive is? I didn't die. And it was so profound because I thought, you know what? You're going to be okay. Be of good cheer. She's holding Jesus' hand. It's going to be okay. And she got this. In order to be positive, she looked at it and she said, I'm not the one that died. And so therefore, I'm not going to live like I died. I love my husband. I was a faithful wife. I was there. I did all my wifely duties. And I did it because out of love and no other reason. But I didn't die. So I'm going to go on living. That's profound. And you blessed my heart because I was able to sleep a little bit better for you. And I thought, man, that is just, like, that should be our attitude. That if we have that attitude and we don't allow the negativity to kill us. We don't allow the negativity to drown us out. We don't allow people's negative voices and their condescending attitudes to drown us out. That we take and we say, you know what? This is what we know to do and this is what we're going to do because I didn't die, in Christ I live, and I'm going to live like I live in Christ. The power that we will have because we choose not to die. So the first thing, if you want to be positive in a negative world, You have to respond to God's love. I want you to look here in Philippians. If you will, you can go ahead and put it up here, Danny, if you would. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. If you have your Bible, open it up. If you want to make notes, highlights, you go right ahead. In 4:6, though, he says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. How many know what everything, the definition of everything? Everything. It's like, what does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. It's all inclusive. It's everything. Be anxious for nothing. Why? God owns everything. He says, you ask, and you ask in my will, I'll give it to you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So I want you to see what's going on here. By prayer and supplication, right? And then it's not just by prayer and supplication. So it's by prayer, but us asking, supplication, us really seeking, with what? Thanksgiving. God, no matter what happens, whether my husband lives or he does not, I'm going to praise you. You know what? No matter what happens, whether I'm healed or I'm not, I am going to choose. I think of Cindy Lamity, and you guys remember Cindy, and through her whole process of cancer, she chose with thanksgiving that she was going to be a blessing to people right up to her last breath. You see, it was her choice. She says, I'm not going to be negative, I'm going to be positive. And in my being positive, I'm going to impact people. And in impacting people, I'm going to change their life. And in changing their life, I'm going to change the environment. And in changing the environment, I'm going to change my town, change my state, change my country. We say, what can one person do? Oh my goodness. One person can move mountains. One person can save another's life and not even know it simply because you smiled at them and you went up to them and you said, you know what, man, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Dude, I love you. It's so good. Just give me some love, man. I ain't seen you in a while. God bless you. Oh, man, I love you. I haven't seen John in a year plus now. Too long. Man, I seen him come through the door. Dude, you blessed my heart. I'm like, because I know John, I know what's going on, and I know the struggles that he's having. And so for him to come through this door, God bless you, man. I'm telling you guys, what difference can one person make? Go up to them, love on them, say hello to them, show them the love of God, extend this grace. And you guys know, look, I don't preach a whole lot on love. I just don't do it, right? You guys know this. I'm like, hey, the God says, boom, boom, boom. The Word of God says, boom, boom, boom. Take it home and deal with it. Right? This is typically me. But man, as I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about what's going on and I'm thinking about God and I'm processing all that's happening and I know the pains and the hurts that's going on in most of you sitting here today. I'm like, man, I can't speak about the government when the truth is we need to know that God is there for us. We need to know that this isn't everything. It doesn't begin and stop here with you and I. It goes on. I want you to look here in verse 7. And the peace of God. Go back to 6 so I can connect the dots again real quick for me. Okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. God, no matter what happens, I am going to praise you and I'm going to be thankful because I know that you are God, you are on the throne, and everything is good. Let your request be made known to God. 7. And the peace of God. Guys, there's so many of us, even Christians are Christians. It's funny because Aaron and I were talking and he said somebody asked him, are you a Christian or are you one of those born-again Christians? So apparently there's a difference today, and we don't know it. But listen, and the peace of God, and even for some of you who are Christians, but you act like Satan, or I mean the devil, let's keep it nice. But listen, I'm going to tell you, the reason that you're lacking the peace of God, the reason that you're struggling a lot of times and you don't have that peace that passes all understanding that only God can give, and he gives it in his time, is because the truth is we don't seek God's face, and we don't pray, and we don't ask, and we don't believe. But he says, listen, if you seek his face with thanksgiving and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means, right? And so all understanding, and it says what? God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It's so funny because, guys, as your pastor, there are just times where it's a struggle. It's just a struggle. It's a struggle to deal with people. It's a struggle to deal with people. Did I say it's a struggle to deal with people? And so, you know, I knew why I used to fix cars, because they didn't talk back. And when I would do remodels, if it talked back, I had a hammer, and so I could just bing, I can quiet it down. But with people, you got to finesse it, and you got to just work them through the process. Why? Well, because, man, we get it in our head and we don't let go. And even though it's a wrong thought, it's a negative thought, we don't let it go. We hold on to it. Pride will keep us holding on to it. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know, but pride kills. Throw that one out there, right? But listen, if you are going to be positive, you have got to learn how to give it to God. You have to. You have to give it to God, and he's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. He's going to give you something that you just won't even be able to comprehend, but you're really going to like it. Just as soon as you let go of you and hold on to him. As long as you're holding on to you, your thoughts, your negativity, your heart's desire opposite of his, you're building a wall that prevents God from getting to you. And you go, God can get over that wall. He can. He chooses not to climb it. He says, you tear it down and I'm right there. Like, he doesn't move, but we want to block him out. And in order for God to love us and extend that peace, man, we have got to seek his face. The second thing, if you want to be a positive in a negative world, you have to reprogram. Are you listening to this? You have to reprogram the way you think. Sometimes we get mess in our head and we don't let it go. Look here in Philippians 4:8. In 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, that word meditate does not mean, oh, that's a passing thought. That's cool, and we let it go. No, meditate means you stop. Stop. Take a deep breath. And really focus on that. That's what meditate means. Stop and focus on those things. Not the bad, not the ugly, because the bad and the ugly are never going to go anywhere. The lies won't stop. The hatred won't stop. The dislike won't stop. You going from hero to zero won't stop. Listen, none of this is going to stop. Cancer's not going to go away. Car accidents are not going to go away. Death is not going to go away. Unfriendly people are not going to go away. Sourpuss faces are not going to go away. I'm just telling you, it's not going away. And so you focus on this and you do what you do, and that is love God and love people through Christ. We have to do it. And if we don't focus on this, let me tell you what, and by the way, the second word, what is that? Brethren. Finally, brethren, who's he talking to? The Christian. He said, you think on these things. Well, why isn't he just talking to everybody to think on those things? Because it's incredibly difficult for everybody to think on those things that don't know God. It's just hard. I mean, I'm not saying you're not moral and that you're not good. I'm just saying it's hard to think on all these things because your thought pattern, your process is skewed. Look what the scriptures say. about those, the scriptures describe the unsaved mind or the depraved mind. Don't try to keep up with me. I'm going to just read this. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. 1 Timothy 6:5. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. Listen, and I can go on and on, but it talks about how men are depraved. They're focused on the flesh. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so it leads to a spiritual death. Romans 8:6. They're hostile toward God. It leads to foolishness, hardened to spiritual truth, blinded by Satan, futile. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. When you take God out of it and you live all for you, how many times have you run into a wall? How many times have you hit a roadblock and then you get mad because it's not going your way, right? I mean, so here's the thing. Yesterday, we were supposed to have an event outside and it's raining. So what did I do? Well, I can't control the rain. So I went inside, took another blood pressure pill. Because my thoughts toward the rain was futile. There's nothing I could do about it. So I had to take care of me. And so I took a blood pressure pill. That calmed me down enough to pray. And then the sun came out. Amen? It's kind of how it works sometimes, right? And then, of course, scriptures describe the unsaved mind as defiled. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you want to change and you want to go from negative to positive, it's a decision. Now, granted, let me say this. It's kind of like deciding to get out of debt. It doesn't always happen overnight. It took you a while to get there, amen? And so you go, okay, I'm in this debt, now I want to get out of this debt. It's going to take you a little while to get out of this debt. It's a process. And you're going to have to undo some of the doings that you did while you were doing. You'll get that. You're going to have to undo some of this bad thinking. You're going to have to undo some of this bad behavior, these habits that you created. And by the way, everyone in here has a bad habit. It may not be bad to you, but it's bad. I have this habit. I'm going to tell on myself. I have this habit that when I eat an ice cream stick, what is that on the ice cream with chocolate on it on a stick? It's not a fudge. It's like a dilly bar, right? That's a terrible name. So, at any rate, my wife buys these Blue Bunny ice cream on a stick things covered in chocolate, vanilla ice cream with the chocolate hard shell, right? You guys got it. Okay. I find them. It's my sin unto death. So I get one, and then I get another one, and then I get another one, and then somebody sees me getting that third and fourth one, so I'm like, hey, I'll bring you into my sin. Here, have an ice cream. That way I look like I'm being social now. And then I have another one, and then I have another one, and somebody else sees me again. I'm like, hey, here you go. So I had like 12 of them last night. Oh, don't even look shocked, because if nobody would have been home, I'd have had the whole 20. Man, I eat them until they are up to here, and I can't even burp. That's how much I eat them things. In order for me to not do that anymore, I'm going to have to be like Larry and go, I'm not going to eat ice cream. Or I'm going to eat ice cream like this and that's it. So as I was sharing how I liked ice cream, because obviously they were watching me be a glutton on it. And so I had to share, right? And so Chris and Tom, being Sherry's cousins, were there last night. And Tom apparently noticed I was eating a lot of them. And he said, he goes, you know what we do when we want ice cream now? Because if we buy it, I'll eat the whole thing. He says, do you know what we do? And I go, tell me what you do, man, right? Because if I'm going to cure this, which, by the way, I don't have a desire yet to cure it. But either way, if I were to choose to do that, he said, well, we made it a point that the only time we have ice cream is if we walk down to the ice cream stand and get it and walk home. It's a mile one way. And I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go, wow, that's a lot to think about. So I got up and I walked out and left the room, went out to the garage, got another ice cream bar, came in. But I brought him one. I handed it to him and I go, it's okay, dude, I walked for it. Right? So, and I said, let me tell you something. If I said, look, okay, I'm going to put them down in the basement so that if I want an ice cream, I'll go down to the basement, I'll get the ice cream, and then I'll come back upstairs and eat it, and that way I got this trip, and I'm not going to, you know, it'll minimize. And I told Tom, I go, about the third trip down there, I just say, man, forget this, and I take the box back upstairs. But if we're going to change, there's a requirement on you. A requirement to discipline yourself. I know that's a bad word today, right? Because people are like, discipline? Discipline what? I don't have a problem. Discipline yourself to change your thought pattern and to change your behavior pattern. And until you do that, you're not going to change your negativity. You're just not going to do it. Listen, if your job at work is bad, look at you first. Right. If at work you're there and you're thinking, man, this is awful and I hate it, look at you first. Don't change jobs, because you might have to change you. If your marriage is bad, look at you first. Don't change spouses, because the problem might be you. If your kids are bad, just get rid of them, because you already know it's not you. You have to change the way you think. Philippians 4:8. In Philippians 4:8, listen, if you find any of this that is noble and just and pure and lovely and good, anything with virtue, listen, you think about those, you meditate on those, and then when God gives you the truth, you change. Make the decision. I can't keep doing this. And so you put yourself in a position. And I'm not, listen, it doesn't happen overnight. I get that. Don't sit there and go, well, Pastor, you don't know. Well, you're probably right. I don't know. Well, you don't understand. I know I live in a box. But I know that it takes time and I know it takes effort. But I also know that it can be done. You make a decision to live for God. You make a decision to live for Christ through Christ. It's funny, my father-in-law, who's sitting here and will verify after the service, he'll say, and he's said this, there has to be a God, because you're not the same guy you used to be. My brother-in-law, Pierre, who's here, which, man, I'm telling you, dude, I'm so excited you're here. God bless you, man. I love you. You don't even know how much I love you. And he was like, man, we were just talking last night, and he said, man, I remember you when you first come into the family. And he didn't say that excitingly, I'm just going to tell you. There wasn't much of the family that appreciated me at the time. And so I'm just going to tell you that when you start thinking like this, it changes your actions, it changes your behavior, it changes your desires. It changes everything about you. And when you get serious about God, I'm going to tell you, and you go, oh, I know, God, okay, let me rephrase that. When you get serious about your relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll take that seriously. And when you take that seriously, your whole world will change. It'll change. It'll absolutely change. It may not be easy, and it may not be overnight, but it will be. If you decide. So the third thing, wow, with all this, I only got 8 more points and we'll be out of here. At that rate, you guys will have missed the lunch rush. They'll be gone. Okay. I only have 4. Here's 3. If you want to be positive in a negative world, you must recognize the best in others. Okay, sometimes that's pretty hard. Let's go back to point two. Focus on these things. I do marriage counseling, so I'll tell the spouses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me five good things that you like about your spouse. Can we have another meeting? Give me some time to think about it. I'm like, are you kidding? No, I'm serious. I'm like, oh my goodness, people who need marriage counseling, right? Find the best in people. Because here's what we know. We don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know the pain. We don't know the anxiety. We don't know the hurt. We don't know what they're going through because their loved one's going through it. We don't know what their job is like. We don't know what the stresses in their life are like. We don't know what they're battling inside, whether it be demons or just the negativity in their household. We don't know. And so you need to, instead of looking at them and looking at them with disgust and looking at them with all these preconceived ideas, you need to look at them and say, Lord, teach me how to pray for them. Lord, teach me how to reach out and make a difference in their life. Father, I don't know what's going on there. But show me how I can help them. Go up to them and compliment them. Just go up to them and compliment them. That's not hard to do. It only becomes hard when your heart is too hard to see the love of Christ. That's when it gets hard. When you have desired to hold on to your hatred and your emotions and your feelings rather than be Christ-like and look at being for the things that are noble. By the way, leave that verse. Just leave it there, baby. Don't just leave it up there. Find the good. Compliment them. If nothing else, go up and say, man, look, I like the way you shave your head. I think it's cool. Amen, right? And then I'll respond, hey, I got an extra razor and I'll teach you. Male or female, we don't care. We like bald in this church. Find something to compliment somebody somehow, some way, and you'll change their life. You'll absolutely change their life and yours. The problem is we don't typically find good in someone else. Because we're usually not happy about ourselves. But we look at them and compare. Facebook is horrible for this, guys. Horrible. Listen, I don't go on Facebook. I go on Marketplace because I like the buy-you stuff when I need it. But I typically don't go on Facebook a whole lot. I post every day, but through my phone, through texting, and it goes straight to Facebook. I don't go there. People get on there and you start comparing yourself to others. Do you realize that the only thing that people put on Facebook, besides those who just hate their life and are ugly and bitter and hate other people, the only thing they put on Facebook is all the good. Look at me. And then when that Facebook page goes down, they go home, go to bed crying, weeping, wish it was something different. Do not compare yourself and your life to somebody on Facebook because it is not all they show it to be. Man, do you realize that Facebook is the number one cause of anxiety today? Seriously, the number one cause of anxiety today. And yet there are still people that will spend upwards of 6 hours a day on Facebook. The average time on Facebook is 3 hours a day. And you wonder why people are taking depression medication? Because they're trying to live their life through somebody else. Don't do that because you're going to miss everything God made you for. Man, you live your life for you through Christ the way He made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't throw that away. Number four, look at that. We buzzed through that one. The last one. In order to be positive in a negative world, we must reach out to lost and hurting people. Oh, we got to reach out, guys. People will ask me all the time, Pastor, how's so-and-so? And I'll say, well, call them. Well, I don't want to bother them. Are you kidding me? You know there's a problem. Just call and say hello. Hey, how are you doing? Thinking about you. Praying for you. Anything I can do to help you out? Well, I don't want to be a bother. Are you kidding me? People are looking. By the way, if you're asking about them, maybe it's because God's put it on your heart to reach out to them. Maybe they desperately need that smile or that phone call or that touch. How many of you like it when you're hurting and somebody calls you and says, hey, I'm praying for you, or you get a card in the mail, or you get an email, or whatever, just that you got touched, and you're like, man, it's so good to know that I'm not alone and somebody's thinking of me. I am going to tell you, in order to be positive in a negative world, you have to think on these things. You have to touch people. You have to love on them. Quit being so hateful. And by the way, what is it with these Christians who you say, I love Jesus, but you're a bigot and you are incredible. You separate yourself from the world like, I am arrogant and here I am. Say hello. What? If you love Jesus, you should have humility and you should have a desire to reach out to them. Don't separate yourself like everybody else has a disease and you're above them. Are you kidding me? That feeds the negativity. If you're going to be positive, then make a positive difference and touch somebody's life. How many times have you said, oh, I went there to minister to them and be a blessing to them, but I left and they rocked my world with a blessing. Right? Man, I went there and when I left, I'm like, oh my goodness, man, they're awesome. They just made my day and you went there to make their day. Man, we need to quit thinking of ourselves. Everybody is battling something today. Everybody. But that does not give you the right to be negative. It doesn't give you the right to lash out at people. It doesn't give you the right to hate. It doesn't give you the right to be abusive. It doesn't give you the right to separate yourself. Everybody's struggling, and so therefore you do not have the right to be ungodly. You want to be positive in a negative world? Then be positive. Quit thinking of yourself just for a moment, and you'll be amazed at what gets happened and how people's lives change. The sunshine boxes. How many have we done of those, Karen? Do you know, do you have the count now? It's got to be like 130, 140. So I go to Cracker Barrel, and many of you know I really enjoy Cracker Barrel. And so I go and I'm talking, and the lady comes over and she knows I'm a pastor, and she's talking to me, and she's like, will you pray for my friends? I go, absolutely. And we're talking, you and I went. And she's telling me about her friends. And one's struggling with cancer, the other one's struggling with other health issues. And I said, hey, what's their name? We have a ministry at church, it's called the Sunshine Box. And man, I'd love to give them one. And she goes, what is that? I go, it's got 7 gifts in it. They're all individually wrapped. You get to open a gift every day for 7 days. Just that little something to wake up to every morning, to look forward to brighten your day. Sunshine, S-O-N. S-H-I-N-E. She goes, really? I said, yeah. And she did this. She just got over cancer. She took her treatment just a few months ago, I think her last one. And she said, she's got to be what, 60? 58, 60? Boy, don't ever do that with a woman, throw an age out there. Any rate, she said, like a little kid, can I have one? Absolutely. Well, if there's not enough to go, there's more than enough. And so Karen brought him in today. I will take him up there and drop him off. Do you know how it's going to make their day? Guys, if you want to be positive in a negative world, and by the way, it doesn't have to be big, monstrous things. Just a hug, a hello, a how are you doing? That's all it's got to be. something simple, but just to show that you care. You change the world. If we're going to be positive in a negative world, here's what we got to do. We have to be positive in a negative world. You have to make that decision. And you go, but it's so hard. Well, only because you won't stop thinking of yourself. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, I told you, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take time. You are literally going to have to decide that somebody else is more important than you at that moment. Not because you're not important, but because, remember, you're trying to make the impact. You want to fix your house? Start with you. Fix your job? Start with you. Fix your marriage? Start with you. Fix your children? Okay. Fix your car? Start with the car. If we're going to make an impact, we start with us. Every time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to be positive in a negative world. I want to make the difference. And so, Pastor, pray for me. If that's your heart, sincere heart, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Amen. Hands up all over. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, with all the negativity coming into this world, at every turn it seems like there's another battle to fight, another hill to climb. Always something that seems to be another hurdle to jump. Father, sometimes it's incredibly hard for us to think of somebody else when we're hurting so bad. Sometimes it's incredibly hard for us to reach out when we don't even have the strength ourselves to stand. And yet, if we focus on you, we can stand. If we focus on you, we can reach out. If we focus on you, our legs will be strengthened, our mind will be strengthened, our heart will be strengthened, and our purpose will glorify you. So, Father, for those who raised their hand, I pray that you would touch them in that special way that only you can. And they will make it a point to put you first and touch the lives of many, being the positive in such a negative world. If you're here today, the Bible says that if you don't believe, in Jesus Christ, if you don't have the spiritual, it's going to be very, very difficult to overcome the negative because you don't have the mind of Christ. And so if you want to change that today and you want to give your life to Christ, then I want you to pray this prayer. But the words aren't going to save you. This isn't magic. What saves you is that you actually believe the words you're about to pray. The words are just a roadmap to guide you through the process. The words are just a roadmap so that you have a timestamp that says, this is the day that I surrendered and gave my life to Christ. If you want to be able to focus on the things that are in Philippians 4:8, you're going to have to give your life to Christ for that to really happen. And so if it's your desire, here's what you have to believe. And if you don't believe, don't raise your hand, and it's okay. Because it's going to be between you and God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, conquered death and hell, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And if you believe that, I want you to pray this prayer. You don't have to understand it all, but if you believe that, you pray this prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, quietly to yourself, you pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today I surrender. Today I give it all to you. I give over my bitterness. I give over my hatefulness. I give over my selfishness. I surrender. I give over me to you. So today I repent of all my sins. I ask you to forgive everything I've ever done, that I could walk in that direction, that you would have me to walk, so I could have that peace that you desire to give me. Thank you.